C2A. Number 14A.
Now we come to the last stone of truth. Truth is love. And we see here the end of Jesus' career. We have first seen the conception of it and the birth of it, then defending his identity against error, then being showing the idea of principle and the new relationships of principle, then with the tone of life showed the Last Supper, the last concession to matter, and that the tone of truth as truth, really his experience in Gethsemane and at the cross, thy will be done, not my will be done. And now comes his final stage after the resurrection. And this tone is built up again in seven subtones. I didn't put them down in the epitomes because it's not always necessary to bring out every little detail. But when we go through it, perhaps I can point out how that last tone, that is the glory of truth, how that is again a recapitulation of the whole word order. I read, what a contrast between our Lord's Last Supper and his last spiritual breakfast with his disciple in the bright morning hours at the joyful meeting on the shore of the Galilean Sea. So here we have the experience on the Galilean Sea, that breakfast in the morning, the spiritual breakfast that now showed the glory of his experience, so that gloom passed into glory, and it is seen in a new light in the bright morning hours, and gives a sense of that everything starts with a vision of mind, with the light of mind that breaks in and puts a completely new light on the whole experience that Jesus went through. His gloom has passed into glory, and his disciples' grief into repentance, hearts chastened and pride rebuked, convinced of the fruitlessness, now comes the tone of spirit, of the fruitlessness of their toil in the dark. Can you see that if we fish in the dark, in darkness, that there are no fruits? But if we have the vision of mind, that is fruitful. So convinced of the fruitlessness of their toil in the dark, and now awakened to their master's voice, to the voice of truth, they changed their methods, turned away from material things. Can you hear the tone of spirit? Turning away from material things and cast their net on the right side. You see how she reiterates, so to say, again, the sevenfold development now from a higher standpoint, and says, look here, that whole experience that Jesus went through can now be seen after we have gone through the experience from a much higher standpoint, namely from the standpoint of fulfillment, truth of love, and see it in a new light, mind. Seeing it in a new light, we turn away from material things and cast our nets on the right side, and really look out and on the right side of spirit. Then she gives a tone of soul, discerning Christ's truth anew on the shore of time. They were enabled to rise somewhat from mortal sensuousness. Can you hear the tone of soul? To rise from mortal sensuousness, that's their resurrection, or the burial of mind in matter into the newness of life as spirit. So they also witness a resurrection, the resurrection of soul. Can I read in that speed? Yes, you can follow me. Can you? Or do I go too fast now? You are getting now so used to the tonality. Can you see how it only needs exercise, 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 and suddenly you get into the flow, and it becomes quite natural. We get the tone of truth in it. This spiritual meeting, that was the morning breakfast on the shore of Galilee, this spiritual meeting with our Lord in the dawn of a new light is the morning meal which Christian scientists commemorate. That's interesting. Now, she says, the morning meal is actually that which we commemorate. We have the commemoration at the point of truth as life, where there was the commemoration of that oath and that sacramentum. That was a commemoration, that the Eucharist was a commemoration of also the Passover of the Jews. So she says, actually, not the Last Supper, as it was depicted in Truth as Life, is our true Eucharist. Actually, the Eucharist of the Christian scientists is the morning meal. The morning meal. That is what we should commemorate. Because in the end of the 6th and beginning of the 7,000 year period, we must shift the accent from life really to truth and love, from the Last Supper was truth as life, the laying down of the mortal sins, but Christian scientists actually should commemorate a higher sense of things in the 6th and 7,000 year period, namely the morning meal, because they bow before Christ's truth to receive more of his reappearing and silently to commune with the divine principle love. So the new commemoration is the morning meal, which says, I commune with the divine principle, which is love. That's what we should commemorate. We get the tone of life. They celebrate their Lord's victory over death. Their Lord's victory over death. That was different in the first communion, in the Last Supper. They commemorated there the death of Jesus, that he had to take up the cross and suffer death. Now in the morning meal, once that has been proved that it is not really science, then we begin to celebrate the Lord's victory over death, then his probation in the flesh after death. Did I read it correctly? Sorry. They celebrate their Lord's victory over death, his probation in the flesh after death, its exemplification of human probation, and his spiritual and final ascension above matter or the flesh when he rose out of human sight. Can you see? This is the ascension. So, what do we commemorate? We do not commemorate that what happened before the crucifixion. We actually commemorate that with what happened after the crucifixion, namely the victory over death, then the time of probation between the resurrection and the ascension, when he walked around again in Galilee, and then finally the spiritual ascension, where the physical senses lose sight of Jesus as a person at all. So giving really the climax of Jesus' demonstration of life. I go further and come to the subtone of truth. Our baptism, again is something else, is a purification from all error. It's no more the baptism of John the Baptist with water. Our baptism is a continual baptism where we continually purify ourselves of any erroneous thought. Our church is built on the divine principle love. It's not built on rocks and with a material structure. And we can unite with this church only as we are newborn of spirit, as we reach the life which is truth and the truth which is life, by bringing forth the fruits of love. So we can see what church means and what church attendance means, what church membership means. It means really we to unite with this church means to be newborn of spirit. If we are newborn of spirit, we are a new member of the universal true spiritual church. And if we reach that life which is truth, and that truth which is life, which shows itself forth in life, and by bringing forth the fruits of love, casting out there and healing the sick, then we are really a member of the true church, of the spiritual church, and we can see what it means. The accent is on life, truth, and love. To reach that life, which is truth, on bringing forth the fruits of love. So she depicts here first what the true church is, namely then, when we demonstrate life, truth, and love in a spiritual basis. That's our church. That needs no structure, that needs no organization, and no manual, nothing like that. It needs a textbook. The textbook never refers to the manual. Never. The textbook does not demand a manual. The manual is there, and a beautiful thing for those who are in the old church consciousness. They need it. They need really those laws of limitation to say what they are allowed to do and what they are not allowed to do. But the textbook itself is an idea, the idea of science, and never hints to the manual. Even when at the end of the preface, Mrs. Eddy recounts, so to say, her life deeds, she never refers to the church. She only refers to the teaching activity of herself. Have you ever noticed that in the preface? That she could have, I tell you who I am, and could have said, I have founded the church, and I have been pastor in the church, and I was reading in the church, and church, and church, and church. She didn't mention that. She only mentions there her teaching ability, her teaching office. More or less saying, if you understand the textbook, that's enough. You don't need a manual where people say what you're allowed to do and not to do. If you are allowed to write a book or not. If you're allowed to open your mouth or not. If you have to have the permission to say what you want to say. If you are inspired by Christ's truth, you are a free agent. You are in the true church. Finally, we get the sense of love as a subtone. Our Eucharist is now spiritual communion with the one God. See again, the Eucharist is no more the Eucharist of the Last Supper, the sacramental Eucharist. The side note here is now spiritual Eucharist. And it is a Eucharist that Christian scientists commemorate. So we commemorate all that which comes after the crucifixion. Our bread comes down from heaven. That's not bread that is handed out in the church. Our bread which comes down from heaven is truth. Again, you have truth. Our cup is the cross. cup was always a symbol of life, and our wine the inspiration of love, which the draught our master drank and commended to his followers. So you have again those three synonymous terms, but as the Christ, namely in the order of Christ, of truth, life, and love, which means that Mrs. Eddy wants to show here that we first unite with the church, that is life, truth, and love. If we unite with that church, that is our Eucharist, then that comes to us, and comes to us as from heaven. You see, the moment you have the direction from God to man, then you talk about the Christ. As long as we unite with God, you talk about the Word, and therefore she built it up through life, truth, and love. That brings to us the Christ of truth, life, and love, namely the bread of truth, then the cup of life, and the inspiration of love. And we can see how here at the end of this big six main subject, she gives us that sense of the fulfillment, really, of atonement of man with God, and shows here the spiritual Eucharist. Let's just compare those two Eucharists, so that we are clear that we are not hanging back to something outdated or something that we should at least overcome when we have seen through it. So we have really in Truth's life, you see, we had the sacramental Eucharist, in Truth and Love, really the Eucharist of Christian Scientists. What is the outward difference? The outward difference is that the Last Supper was an evening meal, and the new Eucharist is a morning meal. You can see that the old sense of the Jews, that the day consists of evening and morning, not of morning and evening, as in the days of creation, that it starts with the evening meal, but that actually it should end up with the morning meal, with the new vision, with the higher vision, with the breaking in of a new light. The Last Supper was the end of a glorious career, she said, but the new Eucharist is, what she says, the victory over death. No more a career, it's now being that Jesus demonstrated. The Last Supper was a bitter experience. The Eucharist, the breakfast, is his probation after the resurrection, after death, and its exemplification of human probation after death. No more a persecution, as in the old Eucharist. See, persecution now is overformed, really, to that probationary state after his resurrection. It's like if she would say, have said, well, up to the crucifixion he has to give proof against negative problems, against error that were building up a problem. After the resurrection, he still had problems, but they were all positive problems. It was the probation after the resurrection and before the ascension. He solved positive problems. He rolled away the stone. He could resuscitate himself in the grave. He could communicate with his disciples spiritually and go through the walls and walk through the walls and overcome space and time. So he proved there all the positive problems that posed itself to him. He didn't have to overcome an error anymore. He wasn't faced really with healing and things like that, but with really solving the calculus of ideas and calculating ideas in the spiritual realm, until finally with the ascension he rose out of sight at all, and that was his closing demonstration. In the Last Supper, Mrs. Eddy said that it was closing forever the concession to matter, but after the morning meal, it was his final ascension above matter. So he rose above material sight. In the Last Supper, we really glorify Christ Jesus crucified, and Mrs. Eddy says that the Christian Scientists commemorate Christ Jesus glorified. These are the two differences, and we see one is depicting the quality of consciousness in the 5,000-year period of Jesus, and the new one symbolizes the consciousness of the 7,000-year period, the new Eucharist, and therefore a much higher sense of it, and says this is actually what the Christian Scientists should commemorate. They really should commemorate not the power of mind over matter, but they should commemorate the infinite development and evolution of the idea of science. That is their way of demonstration. Yes. So this is the tone of truth as love, and you can see this end, so to say, the biography of Jesus. And if you run quickly through that last tone of truth as love, through the seventh subtone, we begin to see what is the consciousness that we should entertain. It begins with the breaking in of the light in mind. A new morning breaks up, a new dawn there is, and a new vision is being caught. What is that vision? That vision says we turn forever and finally away from the wrong side and to throw out our nets on the right side of spirit. At the tone of soul, she says, and we arise above material or mortal sensuousness. We arise above sensuousness. At principle, she says, there we commune with the divine principle. That's our communion. At the point of life, we have the victory over death and final ascension. And at the tone of truth, she says, there we reach really the life which is truth by bringing forth the fruits of love, showing the Word and the Christ afterwards in love, that we commune with one God and His Christ, that is truth, the bread of truth, the life, the cup of life, the wine of inspiration of love. So if you think this over very quietly, and you have to think it over quietly, then one gets really that new Eucharist, the Eucharist of Christian Scientists. But that does not mean that we can escape the first Eucharist, the Last Supper Eucharist, because we cannot have the new Eucharist without really the Last Supper. We cannot have the morning meal without the Last Supper. So we should not evade the Last Supper, though we know that that is not the highest consciousness, but it is a step that leads to that higher consciousness. And that is usually the danger among students, that we like to pick just the nice things out of the cake, what you say, nice fruits out of the cake, just that which we like, and the rest of the cake that is perhaps just bread, we like to leave, to put it into the waste, what do you call it, the waste can? wastebasket, yes. That's a little bit the way we think, you know. We like to pick out the goody-goodies, huh? And not to eat the whole cake. But the truth of the matter is by eating the whole cake. And so we should not shun, as she said, to go through those experiences. And because we do not go through them, we try to get into the new Eucharist with bringing with ourselves all the wrong things. And that can't be done. There must first be that purification of truth as life, then see that we have as truth as truth, to be very honest about it and really say to ourselves, do I want really the truth and nothing but the truth? And if we can say yes to that, then we are ready for the morning meal where we really throw out our nets on the right side. Yes, I think you have been able now to follow quite easily the tonality of the text. I felt that you didn't have much difficulty in seeing how that whole idea is structured. Now, there's not time to start out with that big last subject of love, which covers round about 20 pages, therefore even more than what we have been doing in the six main subjects. And so I want to review a little bit what we have done up to now, so that we have not too much accumulating, so that we may not have an overall view anymore.